Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And, you know, this is one of those days that I look forward to every year. And I was talking with Pastor Lutz as he was exiting the studios here. I hope you were listening to him a little bit ago. And he was asking if I was going to be talking about Rosh Hashanah today. And I said, well, I was kind of thinking about it. And I had been going through a series where we've been talking about the rapture, the catching away of believers, as well as you know, what's in store for this world in the coming events. And, of course, the tribulation after the catching away of the believers, revelation of the Antichrist, and then the tribulation period, and then the Lord's return to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, and then setting up his kingdom on earth. And as we're looking at this, it's kind of interesting when you think about Rosh Hashanah. There's a lot of people who are convinced that that when the rapture takes place, that it'll probably take place on Rosh Hashanah. And there's reasons for that. And so I guess it does dovetail quite a bit into what we're doing. And since today is the start of Rosh Hashanah, actually at sunset today, a lot of times people forget that the Jewish calendar, the days start at sunset. They run from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight. And so consequently, when we talk at Easter time about the resurrection of Christ, and we talk about him rising on the first day of the week, the first day of the week started Saturday at sunset and ran until Sunday at sunset. And so it makes a difference when you look at some of the timing of things in the Bible, and it talks about in the day of the week. But Rosh Hashanah is very interesting when you look at the description of it, and also when you consider what has happened with some of the other feasts that have taken place in the scriptures. And so I guess we may talk a little bit about this here today, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into a couple of things here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program today. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, and in all things, help us to lift up and glorify Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about our church. And you can listen to the past programs, write articles and things that I have there. All that at livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, wanted to mention that coming up this Sunday is our church anniversary service. It'll be our 41st anniversary service. And we have a special day planned, and we'd love to have you visit with us. And our morning service at 11 o'clock, our good friend Eric Howitt will be coming again. Him and his wife, Derica, will be with us. And they've been with us every year for quite a number of years now. And Brother Howitt is a real good gospel soloist. He sings a lot of good old gospel songs, hymns of the faith, and just does excellent job. And he'll be singing, providing special music during our morning service at 11 o'clock on this coming Sunday, September 17th. And then after our morning service, which starts at 11 o'clock, we have a dinner and fellowship scheduled for 12:30. That's after the morning service, and that's in celebration of our church anniversary. And so we have a number of friends that they have their own church services in the morning, but they come and join us during a dinner and fellowship hour or time. Actually, a little more than an hour we got set aside for that. And we have that at 12:30. And then at 2 o'clock, Eric Howitt will be singing a small, like a mini gospel concert for us. And so we look forward to that. And then when he's done, of course, you don't have to run away right away. We usually spend some time fellowshipping, enjoying some of the leftovers, and just till whenever everybody heads out. But that'll be this coming Sunday, September 17th. We will not be having our regular Sunday evening service this Sunday, because we'll be busy, of course, all day, the morning into the afternoon with the dinner fellowship and the gospel concert. So we'd like to invite you, if you'd like to come out and visit us sometime. And like I said, we understand if you've got your own church service in the morning, but if you want to come out for the dinner and the fellowship, you want to come out for the concert at 2, we'd love to have you. Dinner fellowship at 12:30. And a concert at 2. And, of course, our morning service is at 11. And if you're, if you don't have a church, you're looking for a place and looking for a chance to visit, this would be a great time to come out and visit. We'd love to have you come and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road at Suite 200. We're in a commercial space. We're not in a building with a steeple or anything like that. We're in a commercial space. You got to look for our door. 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. And we are located, basically the commercial strip that we're in is located at the corner of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road. And we're right near where 77 and 271 cross, about midway between Akron and Cleveland. And so easy to get to. We'd love to have you come out and visit us this Sunday during our 41st anniversary service. And of course, you don't have to wait until Sunday. You can come out tonight. We have our regular weekly Bible study every Friday night. We start at 7 o'clock. It's at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study. You bring the questions, and just like we do oftentimes on the radio, especially our Sunday night radio programs, and you bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you come out and visit with us tonight at our Friday night Bible study. It's informal, give you plenty of chance to ask questions. And if you don't understand something or need clarification or just get confused, you can let us know. We'll talk about it and bring your questions. And we have some refreshments and things. We set up tables that you can sit out, set your Bible down, set up your refreshments as well with you while you study. And it's a good time of fellowship. If you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, enjoy some Christian fellowship, we'd love to have you come out. That's our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. And again, that's at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. All right, well, let's get into our program here, talking about things. As I said, today is Rosh Hashanah starting. And of course, it's starting later today at sunset. And it runs through Sunday at sunset, I believe, is how it goes. Now, that's kind of important when you look at some of these feasts that we have. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But just to give you a little background here, real quick, this is the first of the autumn feasts. We have the spring feast, of course, which was Passover. And then that was followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and then, of course, Pentecost. And those four were the spring feasts. And then, of course, we have three more, and that is Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, followed by the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the three autumn feasts. These are the seven feasts, seven holy days that are given in Leviticus chapter 23. And so sometimes refer to them as the seven Levitical feasts. There's other feasts and things that we know about, of course, and such as Purim and different things. But these are seven feasts or holy days that God specifically gave to the nation of Israel. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." And these are several several feasts that he gives, these are incumbent upon the Jewish people, and they represent certain things. And when we come to Rosh Hashanah, it sometimes gets a little confusing with people because it's also sometimes called the Jewish New Year. And that gets confusing because a lot of times people think of Passover, the first of the seven Levitical feasts, as the new year. And indeed, it is used to set the schedule for the feast coming up in the year. And it also sets a schedule for some other things in Jewish life and culture. But Rosh Hashanah literally means the head of the year. And it's observed in the first day of the month of Tishri on the Hebrew calendar. And that usually corresponds to somewhere in the latter half of September to the first half of October. And you have to remember, the Jewish calendar is based on the lunar year and their lunar months. And so it's a little off from the solar calendar, which is a little bit different. And that's why it kind of jumps around a little bit, and they have a series of leap days and even a leap month at one point to keep things on track. And actually, some of these feasts, starting with Passover, help keep things on track as well, because obviously, as the dates change, it gets a little confusing if you're depending on the calendar dates and these things for when you're going to have to plant your seeds and harvest and things like that. So it gets a little bit problematic. And so the seven feast days, in addition to honoring God, the seven Levitical feasts, actually help keep them on track with some agricultural needs and things of that nature. But anyway, getting back to this, the reason Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year is because this is the day that is considered to mark the creation of the universe. This is the day that the Jewish people believe that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 took place, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," and that it would have been created on this day. So this would be, in a sense, the anniversary or the birthday of the universe, and that makes it the beginning of everything. You can see why it would be the beginning of the new year for the Jewish calendar. So Rosh Hashanah is another interesting sort of day here that is marked by not knowing exactly when it's going to start. And this is kind of important as well, because with the other days, it's usually pretty easy to tell exactly when they're going to start. Let me go back to Leviticus chapter 23 here for a minute. And as we're looking here at these feast days, we can see there, and I realized I got my one Bible out that doesn't have it marked. That's always kind of fun, trying to reach into my bag here and pull the other one out. But when we look at these things, it says in verse number 4, Leviticus 23, verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." Now, this corresponds, of course, to the time of the full moon. And so this is one of the reasons why Passover is always able to set the season here, because this would be the first full moon in the spring. And so the 14th day, the first month at even, is the Lord's Passover. And that one is pretty well set. They would wait for the first full moon that occurs in the springtime. And after I believe it's the spring equinox, the first full moon after that, and then that would be Passover. So that one is a set day. They knew exactly when that one is going to take place. And the next one follows after that, of course, unleavened bread. This one, of course, follows in verse 6 here. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And then as you go a little further down into verse 10, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall weigh the sheep before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall weigh it, and he shall offer that day when you weigh the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. But again, here's a day, the morrow after the Sabbath here. And I don't have a whole lot of time to go into all the details on the counting here. But again, this is a day that's very well determined. And then in verse 13, when it comes to Pentecost, it says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, going through that, these first four, the spring feasts, they all had a specific time that they started, and it was all tied with Passover. And the reason that we look at these as Christians, we look at these in a prophetic sense, because Passover pictured the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was our Passover. Remember when John the Baptist spotted him? John was baptizing on the banks of the River Jordan, and Jesus came by, and John pointed at him and exclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. And it's interesting, he fulfills this in several ways. In one way, which a lot of people don't realize, when Jesus was born, he was laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And a group of shepherds were informed by the angels that the Savior was born and that they would find him laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And a lot of times people think about that nice Christmas story, the shepherds coming to the stable and all this sort of stuff. But what a lot of people miss is that this was significant because these were the Levitical shepherds who were overseeing the birth of lambs that could be certified to be used as sacrifices at Passover. People who were traveling from Galilee and a remoter areas did not have to bring a lamb all the way to Jerusalem. They could bring money and they could buy a lamb while they were there, and then that lamb could be sacrificed. And so the Levitical priests were overseeing the birth of these lambs, and as they inspected them to make sure that they were perfect without any problem, no blemishes or anything, they would wrap them up in a cloth and lay them in a manger, basically, to keep them from getting mixed up with the others or injured or anything like that. So when they saw Jesus wrapped up the same way they were wrapping up Passover lambs, they recognized the sign, because Jesus was to be our Passover lamb. And then, of course, at the moment that Jesus was crucified, that's the time when the Passover lambs were being slain. And so Jesus had to be off the cross before that Passover began. The Passover was a high holy day that week. You can check out my website at livewithpastoral.com and look for an article that deals with when Jesus, what day Jesus was crucified on, and we go into that in detail. And so Jesus was crucified at the time that the Passover lambs were being slain. And so he was offered up as our Passover. And so Jesus fulfilled the Passover. Then the next thing, of course, is his body was without sin. And he had no human father, so he inherited no sin nature. And the Bible tells us by one man sin entered in the world and death by sin. That one man is Adam. And sin entered in the world through Adam's disobedience, and we inherit that sin nature through our earthly father. Jesus had no earthly father. He inherited no sin nature. He was perfect. He was without sin. Sin's a type of leaven. Or leaven is a type of sin, and leaven, little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. And so Jesus is our unleavened bread in our sacrifice. He was without sin. He's unleavened. So he fulfilled that. Then, of course, the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. And so he fulfilled first fruits. When first fruits took place, when the resurrection took place. And then the next thing, of course, was Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came down upon the believers, the followers of Christ, as they were gathered in the upper room and empowered the church, the believers for this age of grace that we're in right now. And so since Jesus fulfilled all of the spring feasts in order, the speculation then is that Jesus will fulfill the fall feasts, their prophetic significance, in order. And the very next one is the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. And this is interesting because this one here, it says in verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month, we shall have a Sabbath memorial, the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." And this is what they have. You say, well, isn't that an exact date? Well, no, it's not, because the first day of the seventh month, which is actually the Jewish New Year, so it gets a little confusing, but the way that they knew that it was the beginning is, remember the 15th, when Passover took place, that was the middle of the month, that was when it was a full moon. So the first of the month would be a new moon, and in order for them to begin the month, they had to watch and they had to wait for the new moon to take place. And so the people would be watching and waiting. They knew they were in the season, but they didn't know exactly when the new moon would be sighted. And so they would be listening, and there were trumpets that would sound. And on the last trumpet, they would go to the feast. And this was a holy day. Then they would leave the fields where they were at, they would leave their homes, and they would go to the feast when the trumpet sounded. But they had to have watchers watching and waiting for the new moon. Well, how do you know when it's a new moon? Well, they had people, they would look, and they would wait, and they had to have people in different locations, because what if it was cloudy, rainy, and you couldn't see the moon? Besides, the new moon, it's dark. So they wait until they see the beginning glimmer of the moon, and they would know that it was the new moon in the beginning of the month, and that's when the first day of the month would begin. That's when the first day of the new year would begin. And it wasn't just that somebody saw it. They had to go to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin made sure to see if they could get another witness of it. And then they would sound the trumpets signifying. So the curious thing about Rosh Hashanah is you didn't know exactly when it was going to take place, but you knew the season. You didn't know the exact day nor the hour. Now they do set it, and that's why they say it starts at sunset tonight. But in the past, you know, in the Bible days, they had watchers and waiters. You knew that it was going to take place in this span of several days here, but you didn't know exactly when. And that reflects the fact that Jesus said of that day, no man knows the day nor the hour. We would know the season of the rapture, the catching away of the believers, but not the day nor the hour. And that's why a lot of people believe that when Jesus comes for the believers, the event called the Blessed Hope in Titus 2:13, when Jesus calls us to be with him, that it'll be at around the time of Rosh Hashanah. It will fulfill this holy day as well. And it makes sense, and then the rest would be fulfilled in succession, just like the spring feasts were. Well, I hope that that would be the case. That's my blessed hope, is that Rosh Hashanah would be the time of the return of, or the catching away of the believers, the return of Christ, of course, later at the end of the tribulation. But I hope that's your hope as well. And whether or not it takes place on Rosh Hashanah or another day, the fact of the matter is, it is our blessed hope. One day that the trumpet's going to sound and Christ will call us up to be with him. I hope you're ready If you know Christ as your Savior, you'll be caught up as well. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.